rigid Columbia threefolds over Q and their modularity.
Thank you very much. I'm a replacement of Helena Burrell. She was supposed to speak today, but she's not arriving yet. So up until now, no one gave a definition of Calabi-Yau varieties, so here it is. So I'm going to look at the smooth projective variety of dimension D. This is over C. This definition only involves over C. I call this Calabi-Yau if hi of x or x is 0 for every I between 0 and d. 0 and d exclusive. And canonical bundle is trivial. So canonical bundle is trivial. So I'll introduce Hodge numbers. This is the dimension of this Hodge cohomology groups. So condition one translate in terms of Hodge numbers to be H10 of X0 in this range. I'm moving in this range. And condition two implies that geometry is one. So I'm not going to put any more topological conditions. My Calabi-Yau varieties. So you see immediately that examples, you come up examples. So D equal 1 is D equal 1. Dimension 1 Calabi-Yau are nothing but elliptic curve. And I'm going to do arithmetic, so I won't have one rational point on it. So D equal 2, H10 of X equals 0, that's the irregularity index, and geometric D is 1, so they will define K3 from. And condition 3, dimension 3, H10 and H20 vanishes, and geometric D is 1, so these are going to be our three points. And today's lecture of two dimensions. So one condition, Calabi-Yau is a Kähler manifold, so H11 has to be strictly bigger than 0. So I'll introduce all this numerical invariant. The Betti number, case Betti number of Calabi-Yau is the dimension of the case, this singular cohomology group. Since I'm going to do modularity, consider also et al. Cohomology, the erratic et al. Cohomology groups, so that's dimension. So there is a duality, Poincaré duality, and this cohomology group, so this case Betti number and 2D minus case Betti number will coincide. Also, there is some Hodge symmetry among these Hodge groups, so you have this from complex conjugation, and this one from their duality. Also, in this case, we have Hodge decomposition, so Betti numbers will be obtained by adding all these Hodge numbers whose subindex are the same. And Euler characteristic. Euler characteristic of the Calabi-Yau is the alternating sum of Betti numbers. So these are the Euler invariants we are going to use in today's lecture. So Hodge diamond for elliptic curve, this is the simplest thing. And then you have a duality like that. So Betti numbers, zero Betti number is the horizontal sum of this. So Betti number, zero Betti number is 1. First Betti number will be 2. Second Betti number is 1. So if you take alternating sums, then calculating sum of the two numbers yielded for your characteristic depth. This is for elliptic curves. So this sum, now you do this for case 3 surfaces. This is your hot diamond. So there is a duality here. So the the zero Specchi number is 1, first Specchi number is 0, second Specchi number 22, third one, just flip this, and that's what you have. So if you take alternating sum, you get order characteristic 24. So these are fixed on order characteristic for K3. It's 24, it's fixed for any K3 surfaces. So, however, if you go to Carabias 3-4, this is your hot diamond. So, there is a duality here. Duality. So, that's the, so this is the fair duality here. You can hold here in this way by complex conjugation. The asymmetry comes like that. So Becci numbers are given like this. Order characteristic is twice of H11 minus H21. So in here H11 in this case always has to be positive here. So for Carabias, order characteristic is not a fixed constant. And here is the conjecture by physicists that there should be absolute constant which bounds the order characteristic. I think current record is 960. And mathematicians, they don't believe there is such a fixed constant. So now in today's lecture, what I'm going to do is the arithmetic. Already, Stensler thought he was mumbling about the L series without defining it. So here is the definition. So from now on, I'll take Carabial varieties defined over Q. You could do it over number fields, but Q is already difficult enough. When you have Carabial varieties of dimension V defined over Q, mostly what I'm going to do is going to work with hypotenuses. I have to have a defining equation to do this business. So you can find an equation with integral coefficient. You can have an integral model. If you take a prime p, you can reduce this equation modulo p, and you can look at the reduction x of p. And whether this is smooth and defines Carabias or not over the closure of the prime field of characteristic p. So if that happens, sometimes there are bump reductions, so it degenerates to something different from Carabias after reduction. But if it doesn't happen, you call such a prime a good prime. So for good prime, there is a Frobenius operator which is induced by the piece power map. So what we'll do now, we'll choose L. Another prime, which is different from your p, and then you this Frobenius operator acts on this erratic homology group, which is just a QL vector space. This is a QL vector space of dimension equals to Becci number I Becci number. So if you choose a basis for this vector space, you can get a matrix. Of I times B sub I matrix, and then you can talk about its characteristic polynomial. Okay, so we call P sub P I T to be the characteristic polynomial of this Frobenius operator induced from the P power map. Now, this is a theorem in the 70s that this characteristic polynomial is a polynomial with constant term 1. Having integer coefficient and degree is exactly equal to the isobetchi number. So So if you decompose into linear pieces, this local root will have absolute value Ph high over 2. So this is something called Bayes conjecture, proved by Dedekind in 1970. So this is some. So now what we will do is that we take the absolute Galois group Q bar over Q, and we want to represent this Galois group and this erratic cohomology group. So you will get erratic representation, Galois representation. So you will define this ice cohomological L series to be, you go through the process that we just described earlier, and then you will take this determinant of this image of this drop. Okay. Now this is this you can I chose L different from P. Now if L happened to be equal to P, this is the way I'm studying cohomology. But so you have to use different cohomology groups to describe this. So now if you do. So digressing, so so essentially, so ice L series will be just the product of this characteristic polynomial, substituting T is equal to P minus S and the inverted. And you do the same for the L equal P factor. So this is your L series. Okay, so so it's not just one prime. You are taking the product of all primes. This is a global information, not just one prime. So when you want to discuss mirror symmetry for mirror pairs of Calabi-Yaus, you have to just you have to bring in the entire zeta function. This is the alternating product of this L series. So I'm not sure if I can reach up to here today, but then. Our question here is, you can cook up your L series just taking this infinite product where P runs all prime. Okay, so locally, you know how to get this local P factor for given prime P. The modularity, what we are interested in, we need some global function which is independent of P, which will determine the cell. Independent, yes? Yeah, L is independent of L. So the modularity, so this is a dimension one Calabi-Yau varieties, namely elliptic curves over Q. This is the big theorem from last century, already last century. So this is the theorem of Wiles and company. So every elliptic curve defined over Q is modular. By this, we mean the L series will be coming from modular form. So how do you determine this global function? This is something called, there is a new form, cusp form F, on of weight 2. 2 is, this Calabi-Yau has dimension 1. You interpret as 1 plus 1. Okay? On gamma 0 of n, such that this L series will coincide with the L series coming from your cut form. So I'll just decompose this statement a little bit further. Let's see how. So the L series of the elliptic curve, this is characteristic polynomial for most primes. It's a degree 2. Okay, first Betti number is 2. So for good primes, you get degree 2 polynomial, and then this ace of p here appearing here is called the trace of the Frobenius, which you can calculate by counting the number of rational points on elliptic curve over Fp. After reducing this, you can count it. So these, and then if that's the case, epsilon p is 1. So these are what's called good primes. Good primes are the ones not dividing the discriminant. Or discriminant or conductor. Conductor divide discriminant. So p doesn't divide the conductor. And if it happens to divide this discriminant, there are only finitely many but primes. And in that case, you just assign 0, this one. So you just get 1 here. Or you get, you assign plus minus 1, then you will get degree 1 polynomial. So for each prime p, locally, you can do, you can determine this factor. So you so this is the local p factor. Now you multiply this out. You can express now in terms of infinite sum form. So you call a sub n over infinite s. So this is the one side of the story. So this L series of a elliptic curve, this encodes information about number of rational points over every of your elliptic curve for every p. So that's the information you get from L series side. The cusp form side. So you say cusp form weight 2 on gamma 0 of n. Gamma 0 of n is the, this is the ABCD where C is divisible by n. And this is the SL2 vector. This is the group. And now you notice that the cusp, so you get some holomorphic. This cusp form is a function from upper half complex plane, having complex values, a complex valued function, and then so weight 2, it's a weight 2 form. So now if you notice that this group contains 1101 in there, that means this function will have a Fourier. So you expand, this is the expansion, and Q is the e to the 2 pi iz. So normalize in such a way that AF1 of the first term is 1. And then, while through, we have this infinite expansion here. Originally, we have this infinite expansion here. This is the L series. Came from one side. Now we have a cusp form, an L series of cusp form, we write it this way. What Wiles proved, is that this coefficient A sub n coming from the L series, infinite sum form, well, infinite expansion, that coincides with the coefficient, n coefficient coming from this global function. So this is the, this is what's called Shimura Taniyama conjecture. This is exactly the point of that conjecture. So we are trying to generalize this to dimension 2 Calabi-Yau. So we're going to consider Shimura case research. The Shimura, well, in some modern literatures, it's called extrema. They are same thing. So you take algebraic K3 surface. Now take the Nerons Abelian group on K3. This is the group of the group of algebraic cycles near K3 surface. Now the Nerons Abelian group is a free, finitely generated Abelian group. So that means it's a copy of it's a copy of Z. Okay, so this loss of X, this how many copies of Z will occur, this is for the bigger number of your case surface. Once you have this Nerons Abelian group, we'll take the orthogonal complement of this Nerons Abelian inside the case 3 lattice. So this is a lattice, transcendental lattice of rank 22 minus root of x. So my definition, how do you define singular K3? Singular K3 is the K3 surface with Picard number 20. That's the maximal possible number for column. So this means that if you throw away this, if you take the orthogonal complement, transcendental part has rank 2. So that will, yes. So this rank 2 transcendental lattice, transcendental cycles, that is your motif. So you see what this is, a very concrete thing. It's a motif you are going to get. So so the modularity for extremal case resurfaces. Now this Picard lattice, now you can decompose this up to torsion. That means I tensor with Q, then it decomposes into the Nehron Sebilly part and transcendental part. The earlier it was a lattice, so this I want to kill torsion here. So this decomposition, L series is defined in the same way as before. So instead of this, it's now H, you have to, in order to get, so this L series means I'm just looking at the middle cohomology. So B2 is 22, so this will decompose into two pieces. One is coming from Nehron Sebilly part, one comes from transcendental part. So I want to establish modularity for singular case resurfaces. This means I want to work on this transcendental part, the rank 2 motif coming from singular case re. Okay. So here is the theorem. This is for rank 2, it's a theorem here. So every singular case resurface defined over Q is modular. That means, so that means this transcendental part, the L series coming from the transcendental part, this will be determined by modular form. So what's the modular form? This rank 2 motif here, modular form is some okay, modular form, the L series of this guy will be determined by modular form G of weight 2 plus 1. 2 is the dimension of your variety, plus 1. So weight 3 form, cast form on gamma 1 of n. This is or gamma 0 of n, usually weight 3 cast form, space of weight 3 cast form on gamma 0 of n is trivial, just contains 0. So what you have to do is have to twist with the character. So that's the statement for the transcendental part. So this is a rank 2 motif. The L series of this motif comes from weight 3 cast form of weight 3 cast form on gamma 1 of n or gamma 0 of n with character. So what about the Nehron Sebilly part? Okay, so this is the part which counts the number of P1s sitting inside K3. So if all 20 algebraic cycles are defined over Q, this is the hardest part of this business. Where these guys are defined, if you're working in complex, you don't worry about it. But if you're working over Q or a number field, you have to worry about what is the field of definition of these cycles. So if all 20 algebraic cycles are defined over Q, these are the ones generating Nehron Sebilly group, then L series of the Nehron Sebilly group is the Riemann zeta function shifted by 1, and you get 20 copies. Okay, so if you go high enough to the high enough extension of Q so that all cycles are defined over this field, high enough extension, then you will get the Dedekind zeta function of that number field. But the truth is somewhere in between. Some of them are defined over Q, some of them are defined over quadratic extension of Q, so Artin's L function may come up. So with this algebraic part, we don't really know how to describe it. Okay. So that's all about modularity for, by the way, these singular case resurfaces are of CM type. And so if you use the mirror symmetry version due to Arnold and Dolgachev, there is no mirror partner on this one. So we'll go now on to Calabi-Yau's threefold. So we classify Calabi-Yau's threefold into two classes. One is called the reject. If H21 is zero, this is the space of the deformations, that is zero, otherwise non-rigid. So for Calabi-Yau's, for rigid Calabi-Yau's, for rigid Calabi-Yau's, this is your Hodge diamond. Okay, so this H11 have to be positive. Now, from arithmetic point of view, this is a very good Calabi-Yau's threefold, because if you look at the middle dimensional cohomology, it's B3 is equal to 2. That means you are going to get two-dimensional Galois representations associated to these guys. So this rigid Calabi-Yau is really the natural generalization of elliptic curves. And also, if you flip this here, these guys do not have mirror partners either. So, so this is a very, very natural generalization of the Shimura-Taniyama conjecture. So this is the modularity conjecture. We expect that all this rigid Calabi-Yau threefold defined over Q are modular. So the L series will be determined by cast form weight, dimension plus 1, weight 4, on gamma 0 of n. So this is our conjecture. Yeah, yes, intermediate Jacobian has dimension 1, it's elliptic curve, but apparently there is no relation between intermediate Jacobian and L series of the intermediate Jacobian and L series of this guy. Well, one problem is we don't really know how to get equation for intermediate Jacobian. This is our result up to now. This is about, so this is less than, greater than equal or less than about 50 rigid Calabi-Yau's over Q, for which we established the modularity. And this ambiguity of about is if you happen to get same L series comes from same modular forms. There should be some kind of algebraic correspondence between those two, but then constructing algebraic correspondence is again a very hard problem, and we haven't fully checked everything. So this is about 50, could be smaller. Okay. This is again, there are several methods to do this, but then I want to just tell you about the method which Wiles and company, when they established the modularity of elliptic curves, what they had to do was just look at mod 3 Galois representation and backed up mod 5 Galois representation. They had to prove that the mod 3 residual Galois representation is modular, backed up with mod 5. If mod 3 doesn't do the job, then you have to go to mod 5. So you have a similar criterion like Wiles. So this, if you have an equation, defining equation for rigid Calabi-Yau, what you have to test is 3 and 7 are good primes, or if 3 and 7 are good primes, you are done. If or if this doesn't work, x has a good reduction at 5, and you have to look for other primes p congruent to plus or minus 2 mod 5 for this p, trace of the Frobenius, shouldn't be divisible by 5. So if you test all this two criterions, then x is modular. So if you are given equations, you can test these conditions very easily. The problem is picking up equations. That's the hardest part. So that's all for rigid Carabiaus. My today's lecture is about non-rigid Carabiaus. So far, there are no mirror partners on this. So modularity question for non-rigid Carabiaus. So for non-rigid ones, H21 cannot vanish. So the smallest H21 you can have is 1. So the smallest B3 you have is 4. So so you want to establish this modularity. So far several methods are available, and then you have this B3, even though B3 is something big like 10 or 26 or something, this Galois representation is highly, highly reducible and decomposed into pieces of two-dimensional ones, then you have a hand to attack this modularity, because you just stick to individual two-dimensional motifs, establish a modularity for motifs. So this approach was used by Hurek and also a recent paper of Lee from Harvard. Which? Oh yeah, sure, Matthias Schutt also. Yes. So what I want to do today is do a bit of different construction. So idea is this. So you know that all elliptic curves over Q are modular. And we know all singular case resources over Q are modular. Take a product, what happens? Okay, if you take a product, well, if you do a calculation using Kunis formula for Hodge numbers, you'll get H10 of this product is 1. So by itself, it's not Carabiaus. So what you do is you're going to choose this singular case resources appropriately. This is in boldface. That means I'm going to give you how to choose this singular case tree. Then you can have action of this involution on this product. Take a quotient and resolve this. Then, of course, so why is singular K3? So this is like a Kumar construction, but then a bit more generalized Kumar construction. Then you'll get H10 and H20 will be 0. And then HAB3 is the 4 plus 2 times n minus. N sub minus is the algebraic cycles, which are left anti-invariant under this involution. So we can establish modularity of this. And then this kind of Carabiaus, this kind of Carabiaus threefold comes up in the work of physicist, Gregory Moore. He couldn't come to this workshop. And then his collaborators, they are discussing E8 cross E8 heterotic string compactification, and then this Carabiaus comes up there. Actually, I got into this predecessor of string theory in 1974. that time it was called dual string theory. This is at the Niels Bohr Institute. And for this, now these dual strings are now called heterotic strings. And for those, already in 1974, modular forms came up. Yeah. So how do you construct this? How do you construct this singular case resurface? This is a specific construction I'm going to use. So you choose a genus zero torsion-free congruent subgroup of PSL2Z of finite index. So if you act these guys on the upper half complex plane, you'll get Riemann sources, compactify them. Then the finite index subgroup, this has a ramification only at cusps. And cusp widths, so this is now used a bit of a group theory side. People doing this in group theory, and we're doing this in geometry side, so this comes together. So Riemann-Hurwitz formula gives you the genus of this Riemann surface. In our case, we are looking for just genus zero Riemann surfaces. So what that means, this index is just 6 times t minus 2. T is the number of inequivalent cusps occurring here. So how many such a group gamma are there up to isomorphism? Well, this was So this all together, there are 33 groups. There are 33 groups, and then these are the index. So this comes purely from group theory. You do group theory. Yes, yes, that's right. Yeah, so this is the modularity, meaning I need these modular groups. Okay, but at the end, these two notions will come together, okay? So I have all this, I need case resurfaces. So I'll remember case resurfaces had Euler characteristic 24. So I'll concentrate on this guy here. So, okay, so now I want to. Yes, I want to construct elliptic modular surfaces. This notion of elliptic modular surfaces is already present in Schioda's paper. So what you do is you choose one of these 33 groups and lift this to SL2Z. And you can always find the lifting so that it has it doesn't contain minus identity and no element of trace minus 2. This is always possible. So now you have a modular curve here. And now so I want to consider this automorphism of H cross C defined by this manner. So this ABCD comes from your group gamma. And then tau is in upper half complex plane, C is complex number. So you do this. And then you take the quotient of this H cross C by this action. So if you take the quotient by this action, then you'll get the surface equipped with a morphism to your modular curve downstairs. So how does this work? The generic fiber of this surface is an elliptic curve, parameterized by this tau. Okay, this tau. This is called the elliptic modular surface associated to this gamma. And geometric genus is the mu, that's the index of your group, over 12 minus 1. So if you want to get K3 surfaces, you just have to look for index 24 subgroups. So now I want to make a connection. So this is elliptic, once elliptic modular surfaces I got. Now I want to get K3 surfaces. So this elliptic K3 surfaces. So you want to have this elliptic vibration from this surface X. So you take C to be P1 here. And then one assumption we put here is that this elliptic vibration has only type I sub n singularities. So these guys are already considered by Miranda and Pearson in 1989. They looked at the elliptic, these are all extremal K3s you obtain. Elliptic K3 surfaces having exactly 6 singular fibers of type I sub n. How many are there? They just listed the entire configuration. There are 112 of them. Yeah, that's the 112. That's the elliptic K3 surfaces. How many of them are modular? This is the 6 singular fibers, whose sum is 24. So this will give you elliptic K3 surfaces with what? Yeah. Yeah. And then so we take the intersection of elliptic modular surface and then elliptic K3s with 6 singular fibers of type I sub n. So the elliptic, these red circled ones are the modular ones. Elliptic modular K3 surfaces. And all these different colors ones, and also we have a defining equation. These are singular K3 surfaces, and we know they are modular as long as they are defined over Q. So how do you decide a surface is defined over Q? So what we had to do was look for defining equation for these surfaces defined over Q. And for all these modular ones, red circled ones, we have a defining equation. And all this underlined with colors, with Yap Top and me with the blue one. And then green one is Matthias Schultz, have a defining equation over Q. So they are all modular. Yeah? You can write down as a hypersurface. Okay. So okay, so I'll show you. So these guys are all modular. So here's the I had nine red circled ones, and these are the cusps. Okay. Oh, one more. Okay, so these are the ones, nine, I just single out 9 of them. These are extremal K3 surfaces. I call them congruence K3 surfaces, and the cusp form weight 3 are defined, determined in terms of eta functions. I didn't put down these ones. Okay, so these are the weight 3 forms. Now, if you choose these guys, and then if you take the product as we did before, then we know that this Y cross E, so Y is one of these 9 extremal K3 surfaces. You take a product with E, E is anything, elliptic curve over Q, no relation to Y. Then, as we already mentioned, this guy is not Calabial, so we took the quotient, we take the quotient, but then there is a motif. There is a motif of rank 4, it's T sub Y cross E, that's the transcendental part of Y cross H1 of E. This is a motif of rank 4. Okay, and then this guy we can determine, we can now we can prove that this motif is modular. Okay, so if both E and Y are defined over Q, this motif T, rank 4 motif T sub T of Y cross E, this is a chunk, bit of a chunk of third cohomology group. It's rank 4, it's not rank 2, it's rank 4. So this is something new we haven't seen earlier. So this guy is modular. So how do you get the modular form? Well, we know that E, associated to E, we have a weight 2 modular form. Associated to Y, we have a weight 3 modular form. So what we'll do is A sub P is the trace of the Frobenius. So this is because modularity, this A sub P, P is prime here, is the P's Fourier coefficient of your cast form weight 2. And the B sub P is the P's Fourier coefficient of your weight 3 cast form, G sub Y, associated to Y. So how do you cook up this L series? Each local factor, you can just cook up. This is a tensor product representation you have. And this tensor product representation is a modular form. And the recent result of Kim and Shahidi tells you that this functoriality properties, if you take automorphic form weight 2 and weight 3, you take a tensor product, you'll get automorphic form weight 6 in GL6. So, we have. So this you can all tell before even taking a quotient. So now we take a quotient by this involution. Then except for this gamma 1-7 case, we have 9 groups. But one group is gamma 1-7. Except for this one, we'll get these numbers. It's Calabi-Yau's, H21 is this. We haven't fully computed n plus and n minus. And this is the part Furek and Verrill did computations. The problem is our numbers, n plus and n minus, bit different from their n plus and n minus at the moment. Okay, so L series of your this Calabi-Yau is this is the transcendent came from the rank 4 motif. This is the piece. And then this is the part coming from the elliptic curve twisted by this character and shifted by 1. So this establishes a modularity for these guys. So this is the motivations behind this example came from paper of three Chinese, Sun, Tan, and Zuo. So what they did was considering a Calabi-Yau threefold with K3 vibrations. So you pick this S to be a finite set of points. Usually you choose this S to be the singular set of singularities, singular points, and the delta will be the pullback of S. And you have a canonical sieve, of course. Now, Kodaira-Spencer map, theta of 2, 0, and theta 1, 1 are defined on this higher direct images. You compose this. This is the iterated Kodaira-Spencer map. For Calabi-Yau threefold, there is something called Arakelov-Yau type inequality, namely degree of canonical sieve by this F would be bounded by the degree of this guy. So these three Chinese people, they considered a Carabial threefold, where a racket of Yau bound reads the upper bound. So that means equality hold. So this guy is true, here left-hand side. Right-hand side, if X is rigid, this guy is equal to the exactly this one. And if X is non-rigid, strong equality hold, you can take half of it. So what is the Arakerov-Yau equality means? No, X is Carabial with K3 vibration. Oh, really? Oh. Okay. Yeah, it's here. So their theorem, here is that they considered this Carabial threefold, fibered by non-constant semi-stable K3 surfaces reaching Arakerov-Yau bound. So the case one, Kodaira-Spencer map is non-zero. Then this fibration must have at least four singular fibers. And if it has exactly four singular fibers, then this Carabial threefold have to be rigid. And this is the guy we consider. Well, I'll show you a little bit later. What happens if Kodaira-Spencer map happens to be zero? Then this fibration must have at least six singular fibers. And if it happens that exactly it has six singular fibers, then X is a non-rigid Carabial, and a generic fiber has Picard number at least 18. And if you take this P1 minus this six singular fibers, singular set, singularities, you will get arithmetic. This is the modular variety. In their paper, modularity occurs, and then their fact, the modularity refers to this fact. So, what we proved. So this is the list of we have this nine K3 surfaces, this extremal K3 surface number 2, 1, 2, 5, 6. Well, except just the one exception. They are all smooth Carabials, which is non-rigid. And satisfying this property, Kodaira-Spencer map is zero. Arakerov-Yau bound is reached, and X is modular. So this will tell this. So what this Arakerov-Yau equality means? Well, Eckhard Fivek said Arakerov-Yau equality means Higgs bundle split into pieces. Higgs bundle, something like that comes up in physics. We are sort of looking for what would be the necessary and sufficient condition for modularity. So these guys came in. And then, So this is the case one when the Kodaira-Spencer map is non-zero. We got this at least four singular fibers. So you take four singular fibers, you take the cell fiber product of this extremal K3s. Well, not K3s. In this case, the index is 12, so you are getting rational elliptic surfaces with section. You take a cell fiber product, drop singularities, you will get rigid Carabial, whose modular groups are these guys. This is already done by Chat-Shon. So what we did in this paper is we considered this group, the nine groups, modulo number three. These are the cases you get extremal K3 surfaces with section where a racket of Godard Spencer mappings there, and having six singular fibers. So the gamma 1-7 case, if you take the quotient, see this involution is acting a set of odd cardinalities. If that happens, you introduce a singularity again. So if you blow up this singularity, you are not going to have H10 equals 0. H10 is non-zero. So it's no longer Carabiao, but from arithmetic point of view, this is a very interesting thing. It is Carabiao, okay. But then you cannot use the same argument for this gamma 1-7 case. And this is the case done by Furek and Vero. That's the appendix. And at the moment, appendix is longer than the main body. Okay, so no sketch of proof. Yeah, so this I discussed several examples, but then the big question here is, you know, taking this product of the product of elliptic curve with singular K series and taking a quotient, you got non-rigid Carabiaos. So how do you cook up a mirror partner of this guy? Anybody? This is a physicist, I need your help. So Greg Moore is supposed to be here. So this was the question I wanted to ask him. So I have no idea how to cook up a mirror partner of this guy, but then my instinct tells you that if you pass on to the mirror side, this rank four motif you had, this will be also present in the mirror side. This rank four motif will be invariant under the mirror map. No. Use the microphone, please. Yeah.
So there isn't a maximal unipotent monodromy point in the family you constructed. The variation varies with the variation of Hodge structure of the elliptic curve.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is actually an example that doesn't quite show up. I mean, the H11 equal 1 version shows up in the Voisin-Borchia paper. The mirror was constructed in the physics literature as a rather singular Carabiao, but that doesn't solve your problem. And the moduli space in question, as I said, it doesn't admit a maximally unipotent monodromy point. So there isn't a traditional non-singular Calabi-Yau to non-singular Calabi-Yau mirror construction that you can fall back to. But it's a great question. Just it's harder. But I can give you the reference for the singular Calabi-Yau threefold.
That's okay. So that's it.
Thanks. Any other questions, comments?
Okay, since this was brought up, I would just like very briefly comment on the gamma 1-7 case. So this is also Calabi-Yau, and it's modular in the sense that the motif is modular. The difference is it doesn't the Suhr-Fieweck theorem by Suhr and people doesn't apply, because in the other cases one has a semi-stable vibration. Here one doesn't, yeah, in the gamma 1-7 mm-hmm. case. Nevertheless, it's Calabi-Yau. The motif is modular, as good as you want it. The main difference is that in this case the two torsion points don't split into four sections, but there's this three section. And that there an elliptic curve enters. Yeah. So when resolving the singularity, one gets a P1 bundle over that elliptic curve. In your case, one gets P1 bundles over P1.
P1, yeah.
That doesn't contribute to the middle cohomology. Whereas in the other case, one gets a P1 bundle over an elliptic curve, and that contributes.